It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Then there we go. It's begun.
It has begun.
It has begun! We should move along before the weather gets bad. Hello! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that's dreaming of a purple Christmas because we've been taking a lot of cold medicine.
Well, you have anyway.
Which is weird because you've had the cold. But, you know, we're a team. So we do this stuff. Right. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 145.
And I know you're correct.
Good.
I actually looked it up. Not to check up on you. Somebody was asking how far along we were, and I was like, I think it's 145. So then I went and looked.
Yep. Sure is.
So here we are. I really need to change the about line on the website.
Why?
Because we have a very clear about now.
We didn't before?
Well, not that we ever used. I mean, nowadays, every episode I explain what the show is about.
I thought the about was very much similar to what you say on the show.
No.
I guess I haven't read the about for a while.
No. Anyway, for those of you just joining us for the first time, that's weird. We have a hat that is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And you can email there. In fact, you should email there with emails, comments, questions, things like that. Topics. Good one. And the hat magically will transmogrify those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We draw them out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
That's the whole show.
And now we're going to lie.
Because we're going to talk about something else.
Yes, because we don't ever get to that for a while. But that's supposed to be the whole show.
Yeah.
It's
the whole reason we get together.
Yes. The power of hat compels us.
But there's actually been just one episode where we didn't draw anything from the hat at all.
There was one episode like that.
Hard to
believe.
And
we paid dearly for that. In blood.
The hat must be appeased.
All right. So, William.
Yes.
How was your week?
Oh, how was my week? Well, it was... Well, we're still playing...
First time ever you don't sound surprised when I ask you that.
We're still playing, that one game. What were we playing before?
Oh, Diablo 3.
Diablo 3!
That's Spanish for Devil Trace.
Okay, you know what I didn't mention last time when I,
yes,
when I rated it? I think I rated it an 8.
I believe that is true.
there is something about the game that I find really bothersome, but this was also true about, the other games that I enjoyed playing. Most of my enjoyment of Diablo 3 is sort of nostalgic because it feels a lot like playing those games that enjoyed.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath. But it does have a problem that those other games had also, most notably Baldur's Gate, which is the way they portray a lot of the female characters is a little over the top. I mean,
yes,
you know, like they're strippers, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, in my house... one of the big draws of the game is that we can all play it together. You can play it to four people, you know,
yeah,
in this
yeah,
game,
yeah,
which is awesome. And there's three people in my household, so we all get to play. But the two, and every class you can play a female character if you want.
Or oh, nice. Okay, good.
Or a male character. And before I get into what I'm going to say next, I will say that the female barbarian character
yes.
doesn't look like the opposite of what you would expect a female barbarian to look like. I mean, she's got muscles. She's like, she looks like she could really beat somebody.
All right, that's nice.
Because a lot of times, if they offer a female barbarian class, doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
It looks like Rita Hayworth and furs.
Something, not quite right. So I'll give them that. But in the two classes there that were chosen by the two women in my house, one was the demon hunter and the other was the monk.
Mm-hmm.
You start out, and you know how when you play these games, your character starts out just wearing regular clothes. It doesn't even have armor, you know.
You have
to earn that. And I picked a wizard, as I'm wont to do, and a male wizard. And he's just wearing regular clothes, like, you know, like regular medieval-y type, maybe 18th, 17th century clothes, maybe. But the female characters are, like, running around in their underwear is what it looks like, except the demon hunter's wearing these thigh high boots with really ridiculous high heels. I mean, they look totally ridiculous. Now, after a while, when they get some other armor and stuff, it's okay. Quite unlike Sacred 2, which, as I recall, if you played a female character in that, no matter how advanced you got, no matter what armor you bought, you were always wearing almost nothing.
Yes, and the other Champions of Norrath, it was a joke for us. Trish was playing the Wood Elf character, and it was hilarious. I think it was that one. There was something where no matter what the leg armor was called, it manifested as these really skimpy thong bikini briefs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And it was like scale leggings, and it comes out as a thong. So that was our game. We're like, how revealing is this one going to be?
At Baldur's Gate had some really ridiculous stuff in that like that. So it's not different, but in a way that makes it worse because these are older games, and it was bad enough that they were doing it back then, and they're basically making the games the exact same way now. So that was really disappointing, but for the most part, when you get when your player advances and you get to have other armor, they actually let the armor cover.
Well, that's more actually of their bodies a step up then, because
yeah, that's a step up. But also, again, I can't express how happy we were to see that the female barbarian option actually looked like
a barbarian.
Barbarian, like in video games, a barbarian is a big hulking, whatever. At least when it's a guy. And so it was nice to see, just because you pick a female character, she still looks like that. Looks like she could beat somebody up physically with her fists.
No, but that is a barrier that the video game community has not gotten past. There are a lot of default things that still just assume 99% of the players are heterosexual males of a certain age bracket.
And kind and of like a certain to race, too.
Yes.
And that's another thing about...
Despite much evidence that that is not only not true, but vastly not true anymore, very few games are marketing in that direction yet. So nowadays, there have always been women playing video games, and there are more and more women playing video games, and it's sort of despite the video game industry.
No, that's right.
Which means if they would target it, holy crap, how many women would they have playing video games?
Well, exactly. There's kind of an untapped market out there of people that, you know, there are plenty of women who will put up with it, because what are they going to do, not play video games?
Yeah.
And sometimes, which is perfectly understandable, but sometimes the market thinks that that the women don't care, that they don't mind,
or that they don't exist.
Well, right, or that there's no market for women who do care, right? Who don't want to play video games like this, but would play a video game that's more sensibly designed and made. So, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But that's another concern I have about the game is there's a witch doctor class in the game, and the witch doctor. I don't know, because we haven't played the Witch Doctor class.
Yes.
But from what I can tell, the Witch Doctor class is African-looking.
Yep.
And none of the other classes are.
We can just jump to super racist, because I'm pretty sure that was said early on when Diablo 3 came out.
Yeah, that seems a little weird. And actually,
it is a fantasy trope, but it's a fucking racist fantasy trope.
And actually, I'm not sure, but I think that wizard classes might be vaguely Asian too. I don't know that for sure because I can't see. I have to sit too far away from the television. I can't see things very well anymore. If I sit too close, I'll get dizzy, because that's another thing that's coming with age, is I get sick when I'm playing video games more. Unless I'm sitting far enough back, it's a horrible problem.
Sorry, I'm having a terrible time right now, because I have all these terrible cliched Asian jokes in my head that I want to apply to a wizard.
No, but I think so. I might be wrong about that, and someone who's played Diablo 3 can say whether or not that's true, but I kind of got that impression that not only did they decide they were going to make the Witch Doctor character, you know, African-looking, but I think they made the wizard character...
Well, that one's just weird, because the Witch Doctor trope is built as a black thing. Like, I'm not saying that's correct, I'm saying that's how the trope is.
Well,
and that's why the trope is pretty racist.
But, well, it's also supposed to be voodoo-oriented, you know, so...
Which, again, supposed to be black. That's why the trope is racist. I didn't know there was an Asian wizard trope.
I don't know...
God, I have so many terrible jokes.
Maybe I'm just tempted to think that's true because, you know, well, you've got the Witch Doctor thing, which is pretty blatant, and I think there is a stereotype out there about Asian people and them being very studious.
Them being wizards.
No, them being very studious and erudite, you know what I'm saying? Smart.
I know, but I love the idea that there's this common held belief that all Asians are wizards.
No, that they're bookish and they study and learn. And in the fantasy realm, what does that kind of person who reads and stuff, what do they become? They become wizards.
Librarians.
So that it makes sense that they would, I mean, in a backward stereotypical kind of logic, it makes sense. I might be wrong about that.
Stretch that one too far. Not because I don't think game companies are able to be that racist. I don't think game companies are able to think that far along a path.
I don't know. But I just got the impression in those two classes that they were trying to be inclusive. I guess that's where I'm coming from is. I don't think it's a matter of they were just, oh, let's have a witch doctor, voodoo. Oh, well, then they should be black and just made them that way. I think they were actually maybe trying to be a little more, you know, so they didn't have just white characters, which they mostly do outside of the Witch Doctor.
Yeah. I have way less experience in this than you, having not played the game, but I'm going to say I think it's the former.
I think maybe it is.
Witch Doctor would be cool, by which we mean black.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right, I'm probably overthinking it.
It is Blizzard, though. I want to be nice to Blizzard, but... Yeah.
I'm probably overthinking it. But these are problems with the game. That said, there is a lot of nostalgia. I mean, you know, we had great times. I like playing cooperative games, just period.
But
I don't know. For some reason, Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath on the PS2 were both really, really fun. We had a great time playing them. And it just feels like that when we're playing Diablo 3, so we're really enjoying it. Also, working on projects. I had some unexpected technical problems in terms of recording. You know, we had our second read-through for the Briar Rose project, and...
I do know. I was there.
Yes, and I was unable to do recording at my house right away because we had some unexpected technical difficulties. My computer is acting up, and that's what I was recording with.
Yeah.
And with microphones a lot like these, and I when I tried to use... Well, you know what it was like when you try to use these type of microphones with, like, your laptop or whatever.
Yes.
Well, I ran into that problem with the other computers in the house, so I had to come up with another recording solution, which I've done, but now I'm running into problems with the actors in the house being kind of busy, so I need to find time to record them. But this weekend, on Sunday, I'll be recording Mark's parts in Cedar Rapids.
Oh.
So that's exciting. And this week I've been working on my other large project, which... I'm enjoying, but it's kind of bittersweet because as fun as it is and as cool as it is to discover new things I'm going to do with the story, I always end a little bit sad because I still don't know how I'm ever going to get it out to people because I know I'm not going to just write a novel or something. It's totally not right for that. And I originally thought it would be a radio play, and I still think that would be fun, but I think that none of it will work without a visual element. and I would even be okay with it not being a radio play, but just being a comic, as I'm sure I've said before. It's the visual aspect, I guess, what I'm saying is the visual aspect is really important, and I don't know how that's ever going to come about. I've had a few people who listen respond and say, oh, I can maybe help with some things, and that's been nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, but no one's been able to, you know, offer the kind of help I think I would need, which is like, you know, some big-time illustration. And
I think the help that you need is somebody who's able to pitch things, because I think this could be made as a semi-professional or sponsored web series. But you need somebody who's willing to sell it to somebody who's willing to pay for it.
Well, I'd even be happy with it being a web comic, but it would have to be one of those that's like drawn, you know? That, because that's...
Not bit comic.
Huh?
Not a bit comic.
No, and not with stigmas and photographs.
It's gotta
be the real thing. But anyway, I've been really enjoying working on that. And of course, Christmas is coming up.
The goose is getting fat.
And we're enjoying the holiday season.
Put a penny in the old man's hat.
But that's pretty much it. It seems like no, there was another
you
thing.
You do the Game of Thrones way. Christmas is coming. Sound like Batman for some reason.
What about your week? How's it gone?
It's been exhausting. Work has been very, very busy. My job is getting very, very busy. Some big projects are coming up. I just moved where I was in work this last week. Some of my duties are changing, and it's making me very busy right now. Today, this afternoon, we had our non-denominational holiday celebration at work. I believe they called it the winter event.
The winter event?
Yes. Mm. Nice and...
Even avoiding the word holiday.
Non-litigious.
Huh?
Yes.
Because not everybody celebrates a holiday.
But everyone can do a thing in winter.
In winter that's party-like.
Yeah. So we had that today. I did see a movie. The producer sprang a movie on me. It was very important to her for me to not see it, to go in completely blind to it. That being said, I can't do that with the rest of you guys because it's really hard to talk about otherwise. Because it was a very weird movie. It is called Blanca something. It's called the Spanish, whatever the Spanish word for Snow White is. So Blanca Cervis or something, I don't know.
I don't know.
It is a movie made last year. Spanish movie. I think it was a Spanish-French co-production thing, but it's a Spanish movie set in Spain. Set in, I'm going to say, the 1920s, 1930s. Black and white silent film. That is essentially a retelling of Snow White, but it's set in a world that has heard of Snow White, and so it's a similar story. And in fact, somebody points out that it's like Snow White at a certain point. That involves dwarves bullfighting.
Bullfighting.
Bullfighting. It's really, really fucking weird.
I don't get it. If you watch it, do you get it? I mean, do you understand why they...
Well, bullfighting is just a major plot in the film.
But...
At a certain point, you run into dwarves, and the dwarves bullfight also.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not... It's a movie... It's weird that it exists. You aren't confused about what happened. Like, it's a coherent plot. You're just like, what? That's why is that the story? Like, the story makes sense, but you're like, what? It's not great.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Yeah, the story, whatever the fuck. Like, really, it's not, we're not bringing anything new to the table here for that. Except, never mind. And actually, I'm a little annoyed at the way they told it. They oversimplified elements of a fairy tale, which is already oversimplified. So as a story, it's not great. Visually, it's amazing. It is gorgeous.
Oh, I see.
It's a really gorgeous silent movie. Really impressive. I'm not going to say I recommend it. It is a gorgeous silent movie.
It's not an old movie.
It's 2012. Yeah. It's just made to look like that.
Yeah.
It's really nice for that. But otherwise, yeah, whatever. That's not the main thing I want to talk about.
Oh.
Here's what I want to talk about.
Okay. Here we go.
Yesterday, actually, well, back a couple weeks back, the producer decides she's going to volunteer. Our work is very cool in that recently one of the times of paid time off we can have is we have 1 day's worth or maybe 2 days worth of paid time off to do volunteer work each year.
That is very cool.
And so she decided she's going to use some of it. And she said she's going to help out at one of these places that is donating food for people in need for the holidays.
Okay.
And she said, do you want to do it too? And, you know, I'm lazy, but I'm not an asshole. So I'm like, sure, whatever. So she signed us up in Coralville because the timing thing was such that it worked better there. So she was there for like half a day. I was just there for 2 hours. The setup, I don't know if you registered or if you just came or what, but people would show up and we just had a bunch of food. And some of the more like expensive stuff, you got a certain amount. Like there was like milk and cheese and you got like one of each. And you would get a meat thing, like a turkey, a whole turkey or a whole chicken, or there was like a vegetarian option, and then there were like dessert options and you'd get one. But then there were a lot of other things like stuffing mix, rice, canned vegetables, various things, and you just get however much you want. And then you go. And I had never done anything like that. Have you done like that? Have you volunteered?
Well,
like that before?
It used to be once, I think it was once a month, we helped a Meals on Wheels van take meals to like the YMCA, the YWCA, a couple low income areas of Des Moines. We've done clothing drives and food drives. I mean, yeah, I used to do that kind of stuff a lot, actually.
Well, and I mean, I donated to food drives and stuff, and the producer had worked at the food pantry in her local thing, but I'd never on the front, the final end, you know, actually giving stuff to the people.
Yeah, we prepared the food. The first thing you do when you did the Meals on Wheels is you went and actually prepared the food.
Mm-hmm.
Then you load it up in a van, and then they were in these things that would keep it warm.
Then
when you got to where you were going, you would actually put it in like a hot, you'd put it in a styrofoam thing and you take it into the... So, you know, you were involved in all aspects of the process, from making it to going to the places to carrying it into like a nursing home, for example, if we were going there. So, I've done that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
I had never done anything like this, and it was really interesting and eye-opening in sort of a variety of ways. I didn't really know what to expect. I was worried it would kind of be awkward because, like, never have I felt so much like a have versus a have-not, mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, are people embarrassed, you know? And I didn't know. However, and I'm me, and so and they didn't really give us instructions on like how much to engage or whatever. So I did what is usually my bit, which is just I act goofy, sort of talking to myself in such a way that people can very easily jump in with me, or they can just not do anything, and it works fine. Mm. And people jumped in. I did a lot of talking, and I think it went well for that. But nobody really seemed embarrassed. Some people seemed shy about, you know, I don't want to take too much or things like that. People came through that I knew.
Mm.
People that work at the same place I work came through. And that was very weird. Because, you know, I mean, obviously there's pay grades and stuff, but within a certain level, I know they have a job. I know they have a full-time job. I kind of know at least what they're making. And yet I don't need this, and they do.
Mm.
And it was just amazing to me because there's just so much you can't see. You can't see debt. You can't see number of dependents. You can't see, you know, b- bad investments, or I mean, healthcare, there's so m- there's so many things working, that can show up that have nothing to do with your salary. But it was weird because I mean, literally, some people came there that still had the ID. They knew me. We talked, stuff like that. And that was just very weird to me because it didn't wouldn't have occurred to me. But in general, it was really cool because everybody was just really happy and grateful.
Oh yeah, right. That's right.
And it was just, and it was just neat. And everybody was just so psyched. There was all this, and people were like, "Can I get like one of each?" And we're like, "You can get two of it." Like, and they were just so happy to have this stuff. And producer said she didn't know that necessarily, because this goes on more periodically. She didn't know necessarily everybody would feel that way at other times, because this is like, you know, I'm getting this help to make really cool meal for my family for Christmas, mm-hmm. as opposed to other times where it's just like, you know, I can't feed my family, so it might be more traumatic for people than,
well, I mean, but we did Meals on Wheels all year round and people acted the same no matter what.
Yeah, because it was just very, and I swear somebody said completely unironically, "God bless us, everyone."
Yeah,
you like tiny, kind of really thing. Because he, I think he got tired of it because he was God blessing all of us individually, and then finally he's like, "God blesses everyone." I'm like, "Oh my God, it's grown up Tiny Tim." And my personal favorite was still going down the thing, and there's lots of starches. Like I said, there's stuffing mix. There was just plain flour in a bag. There was masa in a bag, and there was rice, and then there were like red beans and some of the. And this woman's going through, and the volunteers who are helping, like, you know, help them get the stuff or whatever, I see them talking, and they're talking about beans, and I'm like, "Oh, this woman doesn't know how to actually make dry beans, and she needs help." And then I see the volunteer lady say, "And how long do you boil them?" And I was like, "Oh, she's getting cooking tips from the lady that came in." But yeah, it was really neat. Also, surprisingly tiring. I was sitting down the whole time because I don't stand up well. But I was bagging. Basically, I was bagging the groceries. 2 hours. Sporadically, not even constantly. Because basically a few people would come in and then nobody and stuff like that. I was really exhausted. It's just amazing, apparently, how much little physical effort I do in a day. Because after 2 hours of that, I was worn out.
Well, yeah, I used to be involved with a lot of charitable organizations and did a lot of stuff like that, and I don't remember my experience, and it didn't matter if it was food or clothes or you know, visiting the person because they were shut in or because they were in jail, because we did that sometimes too.
Yeah.
The response is pretty much always the same, and it's always gratitude. I've never run into anybody who seemed...
And I guess
I would
feel the same way were I in that situation. And of course, I certainly don't feel like anybody needs to have anything to be embarrassed about.
Oh, no, that's right, sure.
But I just feel, and I think there are some cases, I think largely, if they feel that way, they sort of don't come. And there were a couple people where like a couple came in, and one who looked sort of less happy about it sat near the door and waited while the other one went mm-hmm. through. So I guess it may come up. But yeah, everybody we dealt with was just super happy. And some of them near tears and stuff. There was the sweetest guy who didn't speak a lick of English who was so happy.
Well, and see, this is the thing that always bothers me when people talk about poor people, you know, being freeloaders and, you know, being on food stamps and taking advantage and things like that. You know, just knowing humans like I do, I'm sure there are people like that, but anything close to the majority of people. All the people, you know, as someone who, I mean, I come from a lower middle class background to begin with, but also, like I said, being involved with some of these organizations and working with people who actually, you know, are below the poverty line and things like that. These people are hardworking people, many of them.
Oh, yeah.
These people are grateful if they receive things like this. These people would rather not be on food stamps. They'd rather not be doing these things. They would like something to happen in their life where they didn't have to do these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, the number of people who do want to freeload or whatever, if that's what you want to call them, is so small that really, as a matter of public policy, we could just go ahead and agree to take care of those people, and it would be cheaper than not doing it and letting them break the law and do whatever else they want. Because the fact of the matter is, this notion that, well, if we give a lot of stuff away, we're going to make more and more freeloaders is just not true.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that prevent a person from wanting to be a freeloader. And the people who want to be freeloaders is always going to be a really small number who you might as well just go ahead and give them whatever they want, because that will keep them happy, out of the way, and not committing crime. And everybody else that you're giving stuff to, if you give them enough, if you give them enough of a leg up, they eventually won't need it anymore.
Yes.
And so you don't really have to, and I'm not actually advocating necessarily big welfare programs or anything like that. What I'm saying is, anyone who is against welfare programs and their justification is because they're afraid.
Because of abuse.
Yeah, or that they're rewarding bad behavior, or that it's going to increase bad behavior. Those people don't know anything about human psychology or sociology,
weird knee-jerk thing, though, because when I'm watching it, because I didn't get, like I said, I just got instructed, like, here, bag the stuff, and everybody, the coordinators were just so appreciative of having volunteers all.
Right, that's
but,
right.
I mean, they had to get back to work, and so did I, and it wasn't complicated, put the stuff in bag.
Yeah, right.
I went to the trouble to train the people who came afterwards, and I did this big thing about, like, you open the bag, and you see there's space in you, you're going to put the things in there, because I'm me. But anyway, so I'm just watching it and sort of learning what's happening while I'm watching. And there was a certain point I was like, so is there an amount? And I figured out that they, like, with the exception, like I said, of the sort of expensive things, they could just take as much as they want. And just for a split second, I'm like, that's, why are they going to do that? People, and then I'm like, yeah, because people are going to smuggle out, like, 5 bags of beans and sell them on the street. Or people are going to learn that they never have to work, because all they have to do is wait till Christmas and they can get all the beans and rice they need to last them through. And sure enough, and the variety of how much people took of what. There's one guy, I felt terrible for him. And at first I thought he was just being jerky, but I'm bagging everything up on all this, and he's complaining about how he has to carry all this stuff. And I'm just like, dude, it's free food. But it turns out, because he doesn't have a car, so he's walking home, and it was too much to carry. He decided to leave his chicken there.
Oh.
And we were trying to figure out, we were like, can we make, and you know, there was a lot of them we helped take to the car, but like, we can't walk the stuff home for him.
Yeah, right.
And we were like, are you sure? Because we could leave light. But I think he probably had some sort of meat at home, and the other stuff was more valuable to him.
I see.
But,
well, and that's what, too, because people would say, oh, I already have that.
Yes.
It would be like, don't you want some of this? And they're like, oh, no, I already have that at home.
Yeah.
Rice is a big one. It's heavy. And they're like, yes. No, we have plenty of rice.
Yes, there would be runs on certain things and stuff. And I was trying to develop a theory that the time of day when you came in determined which dessert you picked. It didn't work out right. But for a while, there was a thing.
I did not think that people were making the appropriate dessert choices.
No, I just found it interesting. The dessert options were an apple pie, a pumpkin pie, or a tube of sugar cookie dough.
Oh.
The sugar cookie dough was crazy popular.
It was.
Really a lot.
Well, those are all pretty good choices.
They all look good. But then after a certain point, the sugar cookies stopped, and then it was apple pie.
Mm.
And so, and it was consistent, and I was like, maybe when you show up, but then it all just went to hell earlier. And I started getting into a thing, if they brought kids, because the kids were just sort of standing there doing nothing. And I'd say, like, okay, you need to get ready and start thinking, because you're going to have to pick a dessert, and they're going to need your help for this. And so I'd tell them what it was.
Well,
if they were kids, they always walked out with sugar cookie.
Yeah, well, I imagine the sugar cookies were more popular, because how many pieces can you get out of a pie?
Yeah.
You know, 8 decently sized pieces, but out of those cookies, you could get a dozen. Maybe a dozen and a half.
Probably 8 pumpkin pie Thanksgiving. Like, if they had thing like this, they already probably gave it. The cookies are cookies.
I think the cookies look like you would get more.
Yeah.
Also, cookies might seem more Christmassy than pumpkin pie or apple pie does.
Or, okay, I really think there's a lot of that. Well, one woman did actually actually say. It was more of a craft. She's like, if I take the pie home, I just cook the pie.
Yeah.
She's like, the cookies, I can take it.
Frost
it. She's like, my daughter, yeah, she can cut them out. She can frost them. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
So but he doesn't understand that part because he doesn't like doing stuff.
I don't like doing stuff. But it was really fun. And really, it was fun to sort of engage people on things. And I, of course, wouldn't shut up. A, because that's how I do things. And B, just because, like I said, I sort of was uncomfortable because I sort of didn't know how things were going to go. And I talk a lot when I'm uncomfortable. And then it was just rolling because a lot of the other volunteers were sort of quiet, shy about things. So I just brought everybody together. So I started, like making fun of the other volunteers to the people coming in and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. Anyway, yeah, so that was the most interesting thing that happened this week.
But you enjoyed yourself,
I did.
Like.
I think we're definitely going to do it again next year.
Well, that's,
well I think we got more hours than we used.
Yeah,
so.
it's cool that your work does that.
Yeah, no, that was very neat.
I haven't done any volunteer work for really a long time. I mean, about, you know, 10, well, no, it's been more than that now, 15 years ago maybe, when I started to do a lot more with, you know, the family that I live with. That really took up a lot of my time, resources,
raising kids
money.
Will take up your time.
Just about everything I gave time-wise and financially to charities before, I put it all into that.
Well,
kids.
Next time we do this, I'll let you know what we're doing. You can get in on that if you want.
Maybe. I mean, since the kids are all... I mean, we've only got one kid left, and she's going to be leaving pretty soon. Actually, she's part of, at her school, the volunteer committee, which means she's got to do volunteer work every, you know, so much every...
Well, there
semester.
You go.
So she's always looking for stuff to do. In fact,
she figured out where she's going yet for college?
Well, there's three places she's going to apply.
Okay.
In fact, just today, I thought, well, maybe I better... The three places that she's... You know, three places. That's not very many today. I mean, kids usually apply to...
I think I did five.
Well, I did one, but there wasn't anywhere else I wanted to go.
And in certain cases, you'd be like depending on where it is, if you know you can get in.
Well, like University of Iowa, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no chance you're not going to get
in. Especially if you're from Iowa, and that's not going to be an issue.
So and that was all there was to it. And I got a scholarship there and everything, so it was no big deal. But, you know, she's applying to only three places, and they're selective places, so she should probably have a couple more. So I was actually looking for other places she might be interested in before I came over here. Because, I mean, we've looked at a lot of schools, but she's very selective. I mean, to the point where if she can't get into one of these three schools, she's not interested in going at all.
Well, I might have some suggestions, because I did some college. I mean, I was in fairly selective schools where I was applying, and they're all in this region, well, almost all in this region of the U.S., so I have some stuff to say. We should probably do it off the air, because I feel like a lot of our listeners would stalk college students, because they're creepy like that. So.
Right.
But anyway, we should also get to the hat, because time keep on slipping into the future. I've been thinking about creating a Twitter account that just quotes song lyrics, because there are some ridiculous song lyrics out there. Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Touch, if you will, my stomach.
What?
That's from Prince. When doves cry. Touch, if you will, my stomach.
That's a real lyric?
See how it trembles inside. Yeah, that's a thing.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I never listened very closely to
Prince. And possibly my favorite quote of song lyrics ever, na 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 na. You know what that's from?
Well, there's a few songs that do that, actually.
It's from Thank You by Natalie Merchant, Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith, Soldier of Love by Donny Osmond. There's another one I had in there. There are a bunch of them.
Are there too many Nas in that one? Is he...
Oh, and
yeah, that one
is there too.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, see, there's a bunch.
But what's that called? What's that song called?
I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
I also get wrong who originated it, because so many people have done that song.
We used to play it in Pep Band.
Whenever black kids would show up?
No, what? What? Are you saying?
I'm saying your pep band is racist.
I don't even understand why you would say that.
Because your pep band is racist.
Well, I don't know how the pep band could be racist because...
Because they would sing "Na Na Na Goodbye" every time they see
black
people.
No, we would just
That is terrible.
We would play it anyhow. There weren't any black people in
because
my school.
That's why.
Or the schools that came to visit us.
Because not they one. Knew if they showed up, you would sing that song at them. You single-handedly, your pep band, kept black people out of meltdown.
For some reason, this whole thing's making me very uncomfortable, and I don't know why. I have a feeling you're saying something that I don't know what you're saying.
Directly saying it. You're pepping.
No, you're not really saying that. I don't know what. I don't even understand how you're equating that song with white people, racist, or black people.
Somebody shows up that you don't want there, you sing that song, make them go away.
Oh, because it's a bad song?
No,
because
the song is na-na-na-na-na-na, hey-hey-hey, goodbye.
Oh!
Traditionally, in a pep band circumstance, you would sing it, like, to the losers as they leave.
No, you know what? That's funny, because I think we just played it because we thought it was...
People say it, like, sounded cool. It's like, as they're leaving, as somebody's leaving, you sing that song. And so, I assumed, because I know... the reputation of your pep band.
You know you don't.
That any time they would see people of color, they would do that.
Of which there were none.
Because I did this to my nephew, my 6-year-old nephew. We were out for pizza over Thanksgiving break, and we're sitting at the pizza place, and I held up the shaker of Parmesan cheese, and I said, "Did you know this? This Parmesan cheese is an effective elephant repellent." And he said, "No, it's not." I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "No." And I said, "Do you see any elephants around here?" I'm saying your pep band kept non-white people away.
Okay.
Because your pep band is racist.
Well, I didn't know.
Yes. But do you know who originally did that song?
No.
If you guys know, go to the blog and tell us. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. I would look it up, but people mock me for looking stuff up. So I'm not doing it.
It's just not supposed to be our thing.
Well, it's not anymore. There we go. All right. Hat.
It'll happen again. Don't even pretend that it won't happen.
Everything. This is not good.
All right.
The hat was apparently upside down.
All right. From Craig.
From Craig. Originally from Scotland and now in South Korea. I don't think that's true.
Have you listened to anything by the Double Clicks? If not, you should. They're awesome. No.
I have not.
Me neither.
Sounds like nerdcore.
Probably.
I don't know, though. Here's the thing. The most mainstream, poppy, what I think of as like frat boy rock group out there right now.
Okay.
Fall Out Boy, named from The Simpsons.
Huh?
I guess The Simpsons isn't nerdy. The Simpsons is pretty much as
mainstream. Named from
as
The Simpsons.
Gets. Yeah, Fall Out Boy. It was the sidekick of Radioactive Man.
Oh, well, I mean, I've heard of them, and someone told me that I've heard of them, and somehow I was encouraged by somebody to listen to them, and I didn't find them that interesting.
I kind of like their music, and I feel bad about it. I feel like I shouldn't, but I kind of like it.
Well, why would you feel bad about it?
Because it is really generic pop. Like,
well, I mean, I think
stuff.
That's probably why I didn't like it, because I didn't see what was sounded cliche to me or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of enjoy it. I don't own any of it, but I kind of enjoy it.
But they've been around for a long time, like 10 years or something. I mean, they're not new.
Maybe, yeah. No, I was claiming that name was a nerdy name, but they're not nerdy. but it's not nerdy because the Simpsons are not nerdy. I feel like the Simpsons should be nerdy. I feel like the Simpsons is kind of erudite.
That's the word I tried to say earlier. Did I say it wrong?
Did you say it earlier?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't listen to you.
I think I pronounce it.
Oh, is this what erudite. You were making fun of?
I said erudite. Isn't that how it's pronounced?
No, I believe it's erudite.
Oh,
this is really? Back when you were making fun of Why? Asian
you,
wizards.
How do you? Yeah, how do you spell it?
I don't. I only pronounce it.
Okay.
I think it's spelled erudite.
Yeah, E-R-U.
But I've always heard it pronounced erudite.
Okay. And maybe I didn't pronounce. I don't know. You know, it's like I've said before. I use words wrong, I pronounce them wrong, I do all kinds of things wrong with words when I haven't gotten enough sleep.
Also, when you talk.
Which I haven't been getting very much sleep lately, I told
still,
you.
Still.
Yeah, I don't know what
I
the
have been
is.
Sleeping really well. I've still been super fucking tired all the time. Tonight, I had caffeine at like almost 5 o'clock. Which I don't do because it'll keep me awake. Because I was going to fall asleep before you got here. So tired tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal's been.
Ugh. Anyway, double clicks. Anybody else heard of double clicks? Is this like a British thing?
Well, I've heard of them.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
I've never heard of
well,
them.
Well, I don't know where I heard of them, but I've heard
I've
of them.
Heard of double click, like on
no,
a computer.
No, like the band or... It is a band, I think. Isn't it?
Well, have you listened to anything by... It would be weird if it was...
Well, maybe it's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Anything. It's a series of them. Anything by the Double Clicks. They have like 6 podcasts they do. No, stop trying to sell us your other podcast.
Yeah. Why don't we draw something
by
else?
By the way, go to stamps.com/themagicaltalk. No, that's not true at all.
Let's just draw something else.
All right, fine.
We got to have at least 2. Well, you're just knocking everything over.
Knock you over. Let's find some questions and things.
Yeah, questions. Comments.
Okay. Oh. This is from Azure Talon.
Azure Talon.
That reminds me. I should give everybody an update.
Oh, yeah.
I just talked to him the other day.
Oh, good, because I was wondering about that.
On email.
His birthday was recently.
The little tumor shrinked a little more. So that's good.
Yeah, that's great.
And they're going to do the transplant, the big crazy thing that knocks him out for a while and all that, in January. So I got his birthday and Christmas at home.
That's excellent.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So it should be good. We'll keep you up to date as further events reveal themselves. Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking hat.
Very descriptive.
I'm
and
sure.
Very accurate.
That didn't give any particular piece of headwear writer's cramp. Especially if he did it a lot. Say 30, 40 times in a single email.
Uh-oh.
Hypothetically. Anyway, that thing. How old would you be if you did not know how old you are?
Like you couldn't remember how old, meaning? Or you're too young to know how old you are?
Dear dissonant and confused...
Well, confused,
four
yeah, still
voices
that.
Of the magical talking hat. How old would you be if you did not know how old you are? From Azure Talon with 3 exclamation points. This was not abridged or digested, so that's just what he said. Now you understand why I gave this guy cancer.
Azure Talon! Sorry, everybody. There were 3 exclamation points.
There were 3 exclamation points.
I had to say it like
hear.
That. That probably caused a lot of pain in people's ears. I'm very, very sorry.
We have lost listeners.
I really should have thought before
I
did that.
So.
I really should have thought before I did that. Okay, you would either be... One, because... Odds are, if you ask a one-year-old how old they are...
I think a one-year-old doesn't know how old they are.
Yeah, right. But a 2-year-old does.
Yes. Okay. Two-year-olds definitely fucking
So you'd know. Have to be one.
When I was little.
Or you'd have to be... well, I'm going to say, because I, you know, being in my, I'm going to be 45 coming up, and knowing other people who are in their mid-40s, I can tell you that it's not unusual to forget how old you are.
No.
You're only off by a year. And it's usually you tell people you're older than you really are, because, you know, what happens is, after, let's say, I'm going to turn 40, 45, so it'll just be in my head that I'm going to be 46.
So people ask
me how old I am. I'll get used to saying I'm 46 until I remember, oh, wait, no, I'm not 46 yet.
Yes.
I'm going to turn 46.
And they'll say, liar.
But technically, I'm forgetting how old I am. And so the process can start somewhere in the 40s.
Oh, it can happen in the 32. I've done it.
And you know, then it probably just gets worse as you get into your hundreds, thousands,
but
whatever.
I do want to say, when I was little, when I was two, my neighbor, my best friend, 2 years older than me, and I distinctly remember a time when he was bragging about this, and he was saying, I'm four, and I didn't understand the brag was about, like, older or whatever. So I said, with just as much as conviction and pride, I'm two.
Because you thought it was all about knowing how old you
were. I didn't know. Yeah, I was well, two is also unique here.
it's also an age.
In our little dyad.
And I know.
There's only one person here who's four, and that's you. Good job. But there's also only one person here that's two. Is that you? No, it's me. This is basically what I was thinking in my head as a two-year-old.
But you knew you were two.
I didn't know I was two.
Yeah.
And I assume I was.
So,
but no, but here's the thing.
If you're one or younger, or if somewhere in your 30s, I guess, you might start to forget, and then after that, it's anything goes.
Yeah, when you're younger than that, back in the day, shit happens when you get older. Like once you hit teenage, like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to get into double digits. That's a thing. Oh, I'm going to be a teenager.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
I get a work permit. Oh, I get a learner's permit. Oh, I can drive. Oh, I can vote/use tobacco products/purchase pornography/ if I'm in the right state, purchase lottery tickets. / if I'm in the right country, drink alcohol. Oh, I can drink alcohol. Oh, I get a discount on my... driver's insurance. Oh, nothing ever again.
Until you can join the...
Oh, I get Medicare. Yeah. Oh, I get a senior discount, you know.
Right. A big gap there.
Yes, yeah, there's a huge goddamn gap. I remember that at the time. I remember being 25 and saying, like, no age is going to do anything for me now.
Well, I mean, but...
25 is also, I can rent a car on my own.
Things can get made up, though, like... Anything that ends in a zero is a big deal. Like, you're middle-aged, you're halfway through your life.
In terms of the real-life game mechanic, there was no actual bonus.
Sure.
For any of those.
No bonus.
Yes. Until, yeah.
And then, if you're one of those people, fictional characters, who becomes immortal or even conditionally immortal, you know, what's the point of paying attention?
No, but, so here's the thing, too. You are raised by wolves. Wolves don't tell time, or at least they don't communicate it to you.
Right.
How old are you?
Yeah, right. That's a good question.
I don't know that it is.
Well, you wouldn't. It's not so much that you wouldn't know. It just wouldn't be a thing.
Well, and I'm also like the whole time is relative. The whole Kantian idea, time is essentially a sensory perception. But at the same time. Insofar as we believe in time as a fourth dimension, it's going to have a physical impact.
Well, but, yes, and time's always marked. I mean,
but as a wolf boy alone, will it have a psychic impact? Do you mature? I mean, do you mature emotionally?
Well, the thing is, you do...
As a wolf boy.
You do, yes. All human beings accrue experiences.
I'll be honest, by the time I finished that question, I was a little ashamed of myself.
Okay, but, you know, people make a big deal out of cultures that don't have a concept of you know, next year. They only have concepts of yesterday and tomorrow and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so they perceive time very differently. But what all human beings, all cultures do have in common when it comes to time is they do accrue experiences and they do recognize certain people who have had, you know, quantitatively more experiences than other people, and they treat those people differently in a way that shows that they understand that since these people have had more experiences, they might also have more insight into things happening now and maybe good advice and things like that. Yep. That's very, very common in all cultures.
And all cultures also had a time in the 80s when they thought Swatch watches were cool. In some cultures, it was less than others.
My point but is, again, there's always a sense where time is marked by something.
If you're a wolf boy, you have no language, you have no culture. How old are you?
Well,
emotionally, mentally.
Our hypothetical wolf boy. Who has no language, you're saying?
Well, wolf language.
No human language.
No human language. And I say that specifically because that's the closest to a definition of culture.
From a human behavioral perspective, the wolf boy, you might as well.
Not human.
Well, yes, you might as well be asking, do wolves have these things?
How old is a wolf?
Well, yeah, does a wolf understand the concept of age or how old it is? And if a wolf doesn't, then the wolf boy wouldn't either.
But the question does not say, how old do you think you are if you don't know? Because that would be silly.
What are you asking then?
How old is the wolf boy?
It depends on who's asking the question.
I'm asking. Me, it's Tony.
Well...
Well, and as your talent,
I suppose. You and I would define age by how many years the kid has been around, and that's how we would define it.
Okay,
but the wolf boy himself wouldn't have any more conception of it than a wolf would.
So, as your talent, he's as old as freaking how old he is, and it's a stupid question. Go home.
Are we out of time?
Pretty much.
Thank you, Azure Talon and Craig.
Thank you, Azure Talon and Craig. When you said we need at least two credits, I was like, we got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. And then this whole wolf boy question blew it out of the water.
Do you think that's incorrect, though? Do you think, like I said, to a human behavioral scientist, when you talk about, you know, what the wolf boy experiences, to that scientist, you might as well just be talking about wolves. Do you think that's incorrect? Do you think
no.
A human raised by wolves who literally doesn't have any other experience outside of what the boy has learned from wolves would have any non-wolf characteristics?
No, as a cultural scientist, from a behavioral and cultural standpoint, they're wolf.
Okay.
Assuming zero contact, then you get into the whole. If you know of them and can study them, probably you had contact.
Or some kind of something exactly. Has been there.
But also, I don't know, I'm getting too old for this shit. At a certain point, it really becomes... This whole question is so philosophically masturbatory. Because it either has a really straightforward answer, or it has no answer. And there's really nothing in between.
A lot of questions in philosophy are like that.
And a lot of questions in philosophy are masturbatory.
That's what I'm saying.
But, yes.
That's one of the reasons why I didn't go into philosophy. Because even though...
So, in order to make it interesting, I brought in a wolf boy.
Well, it was interesting.
All right.
That's for sure.
Anyway, till next week, which for us will be like 10 minutes from now, I'm 2, and he's 4, and... As much as I want to call this episode Wolf Boy, title of this episode, your pet band is racist.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech. www.thehostsofthemagiccoven.com.